हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 7. The jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma. Okay, page 96. Okay. Okay, Purvapaksha. The second opinion is as follows, right? So this is the Purvapaksha, the opposition. The reflection of consciousness in avidya is Ishwara. The shadow of consciousness and avidya is jiva. So then who is saying that when you have vidya, that's Ishwara? Because here, this is the second one is saying that the reflection of consciousness and avidya then is Ishwara.
Among these three, that point is not brought out, Maharaj.
Oh, okay. Because I remember we were discussing that before. Is that some say when the jiva then attains to knowledge, that knowledge then with Brahman on that you get Ishwara. You know?
Yes, ma'am.
I think they separate one of the schools, they separate and they say Brahman under the mode of goodness he becomes Ishwara. And okay. The Brahman under the mode of ignorance becomes jiva.
Jiva, yes.
So then and then if you ask them where the ignorance comes, then from the jiva. So it's like
then where is the goodness come? That also, yeah.
That part they don't discuss at all.
Yeah. So what we can see is that because they can't understand these things like we were discussing yesterday, the samasthi aspect is not applied. You know? And even if they do apply it, they apply it from the vyasi point of view, from their own point of view, their inductive point of view, is that okay, and Brahman, you know, it creates the world, then Brahman becomes the world like we become things. So they perceive everything simply from their own perspective. And using logic there, then they can't actually attain the absolute truth. So that's the weakness, is that from one's own perspective, you cannot understand unlimited. So it's already a faulty position. But, you know, they try nonetheless. Yes?
Also, that in Taittiriya Upanishad we saw that the platform of Adokshaja what is that Purusha? Vijnanamaya Purusha?
Yes.
Jiva is the basis.
Mm.
So our approach is like we are seeing from our level, but then the head is faith, not logic.
Head is faith.
Okay. Then comes the right hand, which is intelligence. Now you have faith, now you use your intelligence to arrive at the absolute truth. And then I think the left hand or either hand, the second hand is trying to understand the...
Yeah, trying to understand or even apply it.
Yes.
Make it practical.
And then the torso or the essence is arriving at that conclusion.
Okay, the siddhanta.
The siddhanta.
Okay. So then they are starting with their own.
Yes.
Vijnanamaya. So then... its strength is going to be that it's based on the platform of the soul.
Yes.
So you're trying to understand the spiritual platform and come to an understanding and conclusion of that. And that one has faith like that. The weakness will be that because it's from one's own perspective, if one is not careful, one may leave out Krishna's perspective and that not end up with the conclusion. Because you have to get the conclusion, which is we're servant of Krishna. Okay, very good.
Then after you arrive at that conclusion, then the next final Purusha, then the basis is Brahman or that Bhagavan, like, no, from the existential aspect, which we say the sambandha vidya and prayojan, because the sambandha gyan is the knowledge of that Brahman. And then the head is, I think, the bliss. One is the ecstasy, one is bliss, another is, I forgot that.
Yeah, different forms of...
Different forms of ecstasy.
Ecstasy, yes.
So that's where is the...
Yeah, so Brahman's the basis, the other one's the jiva's the basis. Yeah. So that's the thing is... We hear that so the whole point is that the deductive knowledge we are applying practically into our life to bring our life in line with that deductive knowledge. So means we're applying our life means you're using an inductive aspect from yourself, but you're trying to do it in line that it comes in line with the deductive. So if you just use inductive, it won't work. You can't get to there.
We say that actually in an inductive-deductive process, it's always a question of graduation. Because a graduation is the sense that if we have faith on the deductive, we apply. If we don't have faith, but it's the difficulty is between.
Yes, well, that's what you have in between. You have, you've heard, you've removed doubts that you can, it's clear. Then you start to apply it, right? And so in that application, from what is clear, you get understanding. And then from that regular application, practical application of understanding, then you get realization. So the difficulty comes is that with you have those that perform karma, so they perform action, but they don't think. Yes. And then there's those who contemplate but don't perform action. So what happens is neither for the karmis or the jnanis is manana actually properly performed.
Yes.
Maybe on their own level within the three modes, but for transcendence it's not.
Yes.
So therefore manana is the bridge between you've heard about it and it's clear and you actually realizing it and it's a value, so now that's what you practice.
Yes. Yes.
So it's the bridge in between.
Yes.
So that's it has to be the combination. That's why Buddhi Yoga is the recommended process, is you have knowledge and you're applying it.
Yes.
So that combination of Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, that combination with that meditation on the Supreme that is for pleasing Krishna, that becomes Bhuti Yoga. So that will get you realization. But if it's just karma, karma will develop knowledge and detachment. So it will develop. But the knowledge and detachment, that's not going to purify the senses because there's no active principle of engaging the senses in something pure. You can say, no. By my contemplating, I will purify myself. Okay, but purifying ourselves means that we're engaging our senses in pure activities. But the jnani doesn't engage their senses. So how are they purified? So that's why jnana yoga can only be a practice if one is pure. All right? And so the point is, if you can only perform it when you're pure, but then what causes that purity is the karma yoga. So why not do the two together? Why do you have to do one, then the other? That's the slow path. The quick path means what the devotees use is they're both done together with the jnana yoga that is for pleasing Krishna. Right? You're meditating on Krishna and then bhakti to please him. So then you're using the whole ladder at once. Yes, there is a elevation in these ladders, but you have to understand when bhakti is there, the other three are easily applied. You don't have to apply the other three to get the bhakti. Bhakti includes the other three. And then you'll do. So in the beginning, the karma aspect will be more, less jnana, less jnana. But as you go, then they'll start to balance. Does that make sense? So that practical application, so that's the thing is that, because means if we look at it, means if you, let's say you go to a medical school, okay? Medical school, you're going to have to learn some knowledge and practically apply it. means literally, you have to actually, you know, they bring out a dead body, you have to do something. And then once you've gotten to a certain level, you have to go to a hospital and actually spend, I think, a year or two in the hospital doing practical stuff. Then you can specialize. So it's geared on practical. Same with engineering, same with the, that means IT generally, have to use it. But the fields that, and those people are proud, but they're proud and not as much of their knowledge as what they can do. A doctor's proud of what he can do. He's not proud that I have knowledge of medicine. He's proud that I can do something with the medicine. Or the engineer, I can make this, or the IT, I can do these programs, or I can do this. But those who go that aren't in these fields, that are in the fields of arts, they're just proud of their knowledge, straight up front, because they can't use it. It has no use. Yes, he's a professor in, let's say, ancient literature. The only use to it, it gives him a job at the university teaching ancient literature, in which he can make other people who know ancient literature that they could possibly get a job at that university teaching ancient literature once he dies. So in other words, they're proud of their knowledge. So that's the difficulty. He's endologist enough. They're just proud of their knowledge. There's no manana. So therefore, there's no nididhyasana. So unless you engage it in Krishna's service, through engaging the senses, you don't get realization. So through the knowledge, you cannot get realization. Just because you have knowledge, it will not purify you. That's just the way it is. That's the point of the samasthi, is that that's the way it is. The samasthi is the facts, the processes, the recommendations. Then the vyasti is how I apply that practically in my life. So the point is if you had just have the samasthi without the vyasti, then you're going to end up with speculation. You're going to have the samasthi, the vyasti without the samasthi, then you're just going to have sentiment or fanaticism. So that, therefore, you see, as those who accept Krishna consciousness philosophy but not the religion, they speculate. What should we do? Do we use varnashram or not? You know, does Krishna eat this or not? Or how do we dress like this or not? Or, you know, should we do these things? You know, should we have gay marriage? Should we have all? It's just speculating. Where's the religion? Because there's no religion. Or we're ignoring the religion. And then those who take it, yes, we have to do this, and without this, you won't have Krishna consciousness and all that, they also miss the point. Or they're just sentimental. We go and like this, and it should be all nice, and then if something doesn't work out nice, what happened? I'm a religious person. Why are bad things happening to me? So you get all these range where one doesn't apply these things properly. So Prabhupada clearly says that. Philosophy without religion, you get speculation. Religion without philosophy, you get sentimentalism or fanaticism. You know, so that's the whole point, is that that's why our philosophy is a chinta beta beta tattva. You have to see both of these. So ours is just so clear, is that we, from our position, are bringing our life in line with Krishna's life. I mean, he is Bhagavan, he has a life. Believe it or not, God has a life. When the saying says, get a life, it's not about God, he already has one. You know? It's concerning us. And so then it's a matter of how do we bring our life in line with Krishna? Because the rules are there. This idea is, no, these are up for, oh, that's just your opinion, or that's just bogus. Point is, the samasthi is, this is how Krishna made it. The primary creation, and even how the secondary creation works, it's all Krishna. And so that's just the fact. You like it, don't like it, it doesn't matter. It's the way it is. Do little kids like the idea that they go out in the snow, they can get sick if they don't wear their hat, their coat, their gloves, their shoes, or this, or that? No. Their ideas, no. I'll just go out, as I'm playing in the house, like that, I'll go out and play in the snow. I'll have fun. I will not get sick. That's purely a vyasti perspective. It's just their own from their own thing, of what's for their own purpose. But the reality is, it's cold, and bodies, when, you know, being mammals, you're warm-blooded, and the temperature drops. If you're an iguana, go out and play in the snow, it doesn't matter. Even you freeze, it doesn't matter. You find a frozen iguana, thaw him out, and then he'll start moving around again. You know, somehow or another, it doesn't bother them. How, I have no idea, but that's the way it is. You know, so the point is the facts are there. And you have to, in other words, you have to take the facts and apply them in your life. That's what Manu, then he gives that, what do you call it? The Samasthi point. He says there's four things to consider. Three means you could say two are Samasthi, one is Vyasthi, and one is how you bridge the two. Right? So you have Veda, Shruti. It has to be based on Veda. Like you see, our philosophy can always, the acharyas can always quote the Shruti verse that it goes back to. Then you have Smriti. So then for us, Bhagavatam will be the prominent. Then you're going to have what the acharyas and great personalities say. So the acharyas are going to give the real knowledge, other personalities are going to give relevant knowledge. Relevant means they make the acharyas' knowledge relevant to you, not that it's material.
Yes.
It's not. What's the other? Relative. It's not relative knowledge. It's relevant knowledge. It means, in other words, I make what Prabhupada says of the acharyas relevant to your position. Yes. Right? And so that's showing us how we can apply it. And then the fourth one is, how does it work for you? Where does it situate for you? You know, you hear, okay, Brahman does this, Kshatriya does this, Vaishya does this, Shudra does this. This is the practicals of it. You hear from others how it practically, and then you see what works for you. And what works for you, then that's what you do. But it has to be based on the Samasthi. You can't start from ourselves. That's bogus. That's irreligious. Therefore, you get speculation. You're leaving religion, you get speculation. So we see is here, that's all that's happening in these things, is that they're not considering the Samasthi, because they can't. Because their idea, Brahman, is unchanging and that's it, and they can't accommodate anything else. If there's any other qualities in Brahman, they must be material like me. And if they're material like me, then that means then my logic, my application from my perspective is valid. And so therefore I come up with a philosophy on which I say I'm going to become Brahman. When in reality is no. The Samadhi is that the Lord, He has energy, so energy is transformed. That's how you get everything. So that's how you get. The Lord comes down. So the Lord incarnates, that's how you get Ishwara. He's above the modes. The Jiva gets covered. He's an energy, he gets covered by the modes. That's how he gets. He can remove himself from the modes and come back to the transcendental position. But the natural position is that personal interaction. So that they can't accommodate that, the personal aspect. Because they can't, because Samasthi means it comes from the person. It doesn't come from Brahman. Brahman's part of the Samasthi understanding. Bhagavan is the actual understanding. Then that person is the Lord of all his energies and is the absolute truth. So they only have a glimmer of some aspect of absolute truth. So that's why they're situated in sat with a little glimmer of chit like that.
But Maharaj, you know, can anyone go to the Samasthi without hearing from the Parampara?
No. If you don't hear from Parampara, you can't understand. So you might have something from previous life, some faith that there is something beyond in that. Yes. But you'll see generally it'll be sentimental. So the faith is there.
Yes.
Like you mentioned. So that Vijñānamaya Purusha, the faith aspect is there. But one doesn't have the knowledge to work with, you know. So that's the point, is that in these contemporary religious processes, even though they go back, somehow or another, the knowledge about the Lord and his position is not brought out very much.
Yes, yes. Yes.
You know, you have to understand it's been a long time.
Yes.
And so things get lost.
Yes. Yes.
So there is some idea that the Lord through sound has created everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that aspect is good, but they've lost the whole primary creation, really.
Yes, yes.
You know? I mean, there's some aspect of primary, secondary kind of mix, but it's mainly about the creation of the things here.
Yes.
And so they kind of lose all that, so they don't really know much. They don't know who the Jiva is.
Yes.
They don't really know the Lord and his position.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and then like yesterday, there's some Holy Ghost that, you know, is running around, and you have to be careful, you know, because, you know, you may be holy, but then do you become a ghost or, you know, like this or... Yeah, so many different things. So.
Also, the terminology of Vyasti and Samasti is generally used only for the causal theories, like explaining the cause and effect in the material creation. Because ultimately, when you go beyond, we don't analyze things from cause and effect perspective.
Mm. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah, because cause and effect means now you're talking about Ishwara, about Paramatma. The controller of the energies.
Yeah.
But when you get to Bhagavan, then you're talking about his relationship with his devotees and those pastimes of interaction. So you're beyond cause and effect.
Yeah.
Right? So, but if you relegate all this cause and effect to it being just something from the Indian subcontinent, and we're not from there, so therefore it doesn't apply to us, then it becomes very... You lose, you know, they're not accepting the religion, so that they have a little philosophy. And so then how do you apply this philosophy? You know, Krishna's God, we're jivas, we're his servant, but how do you apply it? You know, and you end up with rituals that, you know, only if you fold the burrito like this, then it's God conscious, you know. Yeah.
Also in
the fun part, burritos from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. In the Vedantic perspective, then Vyasti and Samasti equivalents are done, Maharaj. That,
sorry?
Vyasti and Samasti, there are some equivalents done. Like in the Vyasti, it's because of the individual Jiva's thing, the three aspects of one's gross body, subtle body, and the causal body.
Okay.
Are at the Vyasti level for the individual Jiva. At the Samasti level, the gross body is the Virat Purusha, the subtle is the Hiranya Garbha, and the causal body is what they say, is made Mahavishnu. Like.
Okay, so these three features.
These three features.
Okay. Does that make sense? So it means you have to see is that it's connected with these things. They're all, in other words, you have a principle, but depending on where you're applying it, then it will give its different terminologies and different definitions.
Yeah.
Like that. So one has to see there's the oneness aspect, there's the difference aspect. So if we only look at difference, then we're different from Krishna. Oh, we're not from over there, we're from over here. But then in the same principle, then we're different from each other. So then if that's the case, then whatever you're speaking, it doesn't apply to me. You know, so that's the whole thing, is the only one that is universal is Krishna. Individuals, that's going to be different. Like what the demigods do is one thing, what the yakshas do, rakshasas, gandharvas, vidyadharas, they're all different. But only when they're following Krishna's laws and that, then there's a commonality. You know, it's like you're taking care of the sun. Then the sun also, when it goes, there's a particular rakshasa that's there protecting. You know, the sun god goes, the charioteer goes, the particular deity that's there. You know, you have the 12 Adityas, so which one for the month? But there's also the particular Rakshasa. You know, they're going to have their Gandharva, they're going to have their this, they're going to have that. So when they're connected to Krishna, then all of that works together. Otherwise, you see, none of them necessarily get along. So this whole idea is that, no, we're going to base it on the difference, that we're different from India. And at the same time as we're creating this universal, you know, brotherhood that's there that everybody can work under. No, once you start difference, it means everything's going to be different. Because you're not regulating the difference by the oneness of it's connected to Krishna. You can say, but you're doing it without religion, and Krishna gives religion, so therefore the conditioned soul can't function without religion, so where does the religion come from? So it's not coming from Krishna, we make it up ourselves. So then what's the difference between that and anything else that's going on these days? You know, where do the rituals come from in any Christian background? Where do they come from? They don't come from Judaism, which they're from, so that means every last one of them is made up. Everything. Every mantra, every ritual, everything is made up. Like that. It may be in pursuance of God consciousness, and so in this way it inspires people and everything like that. And so then it's nice. People gain faith, they come forward, but we have to, you have to make it up. And because you've made it up, because of the difference, now this one fights with that one. You know, Christian fights with Christian, Christians fight with Muslims, Muslims fight with Jews, Jews fight with, like, everybody fights. And so then you have this whole problem. And so, therefore, you can't base it on that, because the effect, the cause, is what, you see that in the effect. But they're not looking at that. They're thinking that we're the cause. I eat this, therefore Krishna must eat this. Rather than Krishna eats that, that's why I eat this. You know, so it becomes a problem. Huh? Yeah. Okay. The second opinion is as follows: the reflection of consciousness in avidya is Ishvara. The shadow of consciousness in avidya is the jiva. These entities are false, like mistaking a rope for a snake. They are cancelled by equating them with Brahman. Tattvam asi. Right? So then, by equating them with Brahman, it comes to, but then they're all gone, and then everything just goes back to the oneness of Brahman. So you've rectified the situation by this tattvam asi. Same, yeah. The Shrutis negate the jivas in order to produce a pure state. These statements of negation become the Mahavakyas. In deep sleep, everything disappears. When the jiva awakens again, everything manifests. With a jiva not accepting unknown impressions. Right? It means you accept impressions that you know and don't know, so that's why you get all the differences between. I know this, therefore I accept it. Like, let's say, I have done something and I found it okay. Another person hasn't, so when I recommend it, they'll no. Because they have no experience.
How can formless reflect itself?
That's a good point.
And the all-pervading, how can it give shadow? If it's all-pervading, then what makes the difference as such?
Well, you notice here they use mistaking a rope for a snake, but there's a rope and there's a snake, and you're saying that there's there. So if you mistake the rope for a snake, the rope is not a snake, so it's an illusion that you think it's a snake. But there is a rope and there is a snake.
Yeah.
So they're using that because it logically makes sense according to illusion. But at the same time as that they're making the mistake is that there has to be some reality there that you're dealing with. You can't be logical with unreal. You know, otherwise if that's how things work, then, you know, Inception would be like our Bible or something. No? You know, it's just like anything can change, anything can do, it's just whatever you're thinking, like that. So that's the problem. They're making some mistakes, but because of their attachment, they're not noticing them, and no one else notices them. You know, it's just like, let us say, okay, the guy is doing a seminar on how to become a millionaire. And everybody wants to be a millionaire, so all these people are coming. And they're spending some, you know, you want to be a millionaire, you know, we have the trick here, you know, so you spend some decent money, and you can hear, and they'll give you this nice, you know, you'll be wined and dined, and, you know, nicely taken care of, and respected, and how you say, puffed up, and, you know, like this. you know, all these kind of things like this. But is anybody noticing, is this guy a millionaire?
No.
You know? Yes. And why would he be doing it? Why, if it's so, why isn't he doing it? You know? So that's the thing. It's just like, let's say, the MBA course. You go through there, you do your 18 months, and you learn from all these top people and everything like that. But the thing is it, then why isn't that person who's teaching the course out making his millions?
He's a Brahmin.
That's there, but do they understand that? Does the person doing it understand? No, he just knows I can make money off of teaching others how to make money. Right? But so they're not catching that. So then if that's the case, the guy teaching the course can't make the millions. So I, learning the course, I also will not be able to make the millions. So in other words, you're learning the technique of how to work with the guy who does make the millions, right? Because there has to be some form of community there. If you can't relate to the businessman on that top level, you can't work on that top level to assist. But the point is there's guys, kids sitting in garages that make more than any of them all put together that doesn't know any of that. They just know what's business. So what they're teaching is how to help a businessman. Yes?
Also, there are like, you know, they call a special chief guest in those kind of things.
Mm.
When their students are graduating,
mm-hmm.
and they call some successful businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes and he says exactly opposite to what they have learned all through these mm-hmm. years of study.
Yeah.
He said, I was bunking classes, I was doing this, that. And so it's now like everybody knows, even who are businessmen, they send their children to there, or it's all about getting some contacts, a platform from where they can.
That's all. They don't need it for business. Yeah. One is a prestige amongst all their yeah. community that, oh, he got an MBA from Harvard, you know, so that's all. But the point is he could not get educated at all and sit in Butter Bazaar and make more money than all of them put together, you know, so. Yeah. Plus, it just, another business person says, you just know how the modern works. So you could figure it out, but if in 18 months you can already figure it out, why take 5 years? You know, you could immediately be making money. So this way, you'll work it out, but it'll take you some years.
So they only work on getting more contacts who are successful, because that's the platform from where they can look yeah. on this.
Yeah, so it's just there, but it's always funny. It's funny. But it is true. And nobody notices. So that's the thing, is because people are illusioned. They, you know, they make mistakes, the cheating propensity and the imperfect senses, therefore they don't catch this. Because you're having a conditioned soul giving a philosophy and religious process that works for conditioned souls. So that's why the stuff like this so easily gets caught. Does that make sense? While you're giving the absolute truth, that then, you know, we're not used to. Because in that, we're being told we're not God. We're not the controller and enjoyer. And so it's not necessarily what we're, you know, practiced at hearing. And so that's going to be the fundamental point, is it doesn't make any sense. So just like you're pointing out, it makes no sense. And that's the way it is. So the ideas, the acharyas then are giving all these details so that we know all the different ways it doesn't make sense, so that we can catch people on that and then give the proper understanding. So like you said, if something's all-pervading, you can't have a shadow. And if something's unlimited, you can't have a reflection, because it takes up everywhere. So where would the reflect? What would it reflect off of? Onto what? It's all-pervading, so you can't get a reflection or a shadow, you know. But they don't think of these things. And if you do bring this up, they'll come up with some new philosophy. Because it mentioned vada means I have a philosophy, then, or an idea. I present it. People, you know, come up and show the faults. So I go back and rethink my faults. you know, how to make that into, you know, something positive. And then doing this enough that, you know, I'm convinced that I can convince most people or all this, then it becomes a bada. It becomes a philosophy.
It's interesting that, you know, we don't really care about Mayavadis or what do they do, what is their practice. But then Madhvacharya, since that time, his followers, because Madhvacharya, he was like really strong on that.
Yes, yes.
Still, up to today, the Mayavadis and the followers of Madhva, they still debate. And they, Mayavada, you know, Mayavadis, they write their theory, then it's destroyed by the followers of Madhva. Then they, and it's still up today, it's like going.
It's going on, yeah, yeah. There it goes.
So this is like an eternal argument.
Yes.
Between dualists and the
Advaita.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Advaita.
Yeah. And so that's the thing, exclusive oneness or exclusive dual, there's always going to be a problem, so there'll always be a fight.
Also yeah. To understand these three schools, then we got from the Madhva school, because they will present what they are. If you hear, read from what the Advaita school, and then they kind of confuse you.
They don't know. Okay. That's the whole thing. It's just like if you, because it's like you have chit, achit, ishwara, sadhana, sadhya. So what exactly is chit? Well, oh, that's very difficult, and you know, you have to this and that. Just no, say what is. So that's the thing they can. You know, if you ask, you know, the contemporary, what's the soul? You know, is it the body? Is it the subtle body? Is it the mind? Is it the intelligence? You know, how does it come about? Is it a combination of chemicals? Is it coming from the Lord? There's no real idea. You know, because, you know, you're supposed to bury the body, and with that body you'll go back to heaven. But the point is that if it's about the body, then, you know, it means we haven't had the resurrection yet, right? And I mean, not resurrection, what is it? Just the judgment day? Is it
resurrection?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, and then everybody's going to rise up, you know, like that, I say, on that great getting up morning and all that kind of stuff. And but if you check out what's there in that grave, it, basically it's just going to be bones at best. You know? So does that mean that in heaven everybody's walking around and they're, you know... You know, and there'll probably be, you know, nice white, you know, white bones, you know, nicely eaten clean and stuff like that. So, you know. So that's the whole thing, is it's not well thought out. There's a sentiment, but because there's no philosophy, you just have a sentiment. No, because they were there and we knew them through there, so the body's valuable. So that's why in the Vedic, the body's burnt, because you're thinking that the person was the body, but they're the soul. And so therefore the body's burnt. So that you give up that, and that soul gives up that. So, yes.
The Western philosophers, as you mentioned, they don't understand the position of the soul at all.
Yes.
But if we take the six schools,
yes,
you press them strong enough, they all agree the soul is all-pervading.
Mm.
The jiva is all-pervading. So one side, they don't know, like, not even basic things.
Yes.
But the other side, they don't, only Vaishnavas agree that the jiva is minute.
Yes, I know. Yeah, that's why it's such a big thing about the jiva.
Yeah. Everybody else, this way or the other, they say it's
all pervading. Yeah, because they're all after liberation, so therefore then you merge into Brahman.
Yeah.
So that's why by studying Shankara, you've studied all the other ones, technically. Because they'll just be variations, and the mechanics of it, you know, will be slightly different, but otherwise...
Emphasis,
yes. The sadhana might be slightly different. But basically, the sadhya is all the same.
Yeah.
You know, the result they all want is all the same. The position is not contrary to his explanation of Ishwara, since Ishwara also follows after only known impressions. Right? So this is their idea, is that only things that are known and all that, then the jiva and the ishwara are following. Like that. What they're not understanding here is, no, is ishwara, he establishes, you know, it's his desire is how things established. So therefore, he doesn't have to work outside his own impressions, because his impressions are what makes everything work. Right? It's his desire that makes everything work. And so when the jiva brings their desire in line with the Lord, then everything works. So the illusion is not understanding this. Right. Uttara. Two others say as follows. There would be fear of liberation, since the jiva would be destroyed. The jiva would remain eternally conditioned, since being the knower related to ignorance, it can never determine its cause, Brahman. The agency of Ishwara and his omniscience, etc., are discussed in the sutras. These will be discussed later. So, the jiva means with the knowledge and all that, then the point is he's going to remain eternally conditioned because of his relation to ignorance. So the jiva itself can't actually understand liberation, because liberation means knowledge. But how would the jiva understand it, since he's based on ignorance? So something based on ignorance wouldn't be able to comprehend knowledge, especially since they said you can't deal with unknown impressions. So the jiva, being ignorance, can't understand knowledge. So how would the jiva get liberated? Right? So that's the whole point. And then, you know, there's also this, that there would be fear of liberation because the jiva will not exist. But the point is, it's only because you know you're Brahman, you become Brahman. But as soon as you know you're Brahman, according to the philosophy, you don't exist. So then there is no liberation. They say, oh, you get liberated, but there is no liberation. Because one, you don't exist, so therefore, how can you liberate something that doesn't exist? So, yes, that's the whole point. So you see, the acharyas always go to this level and that. But they can also discuss the other, you know, green bird and green tree. But yeah, the green tree is still there and the green bird is still there. So you can discuss. But at this level, then this is where it becomes uncomfortable for them. Vritti. Next, the author presents and refutes the Pratibimbavad. Pratibimba is?
Reflection.
Okay, so in this one is Ishwara is the reflection. And in this third one, jiva is the reflection.
Which one?
Means the one we just did, the second opinion, the jiva is shadow. But Ishwara is reflection. But in this third one, then jiva is reflection. And so, what's Ishwara?
Ishwara is the original consciousness, and jiva is the reflection, but real. So both are conscious, both are real, but it's not absolute reality.
But it's not absolute reality.
Oh, it's Paramartika and Vyavaharika. Is this what they say?
Actually, these terms are given by Shankaracharya, Paramartika, Vyavaharika, and Pratibhashika, I think. And Shankaracharya doesn't explain anything. And he gave them the buzzword, which is Adhyasa. Adhyasa means that, what you call, Aropya, what we impose, superimposition. So they use these terms to make their all different philosophies.
Okay, so he just basically gave them something to think about, and then but didn't clearly, and then left them to think. So gave enough, he gave them enough rope to hang themselves.
Yeah. Right. So based on that word Adhyasa, then they formed Abhasa, shadow.
Okay.
Goes on and on.
So then they speculate how these things, because this one sounds closer, this third one sounds closer to what Shankara said.
And that is what, even in modern times, this is what is presented the most.
So this is Padmapada?
I think somewhere earlier the Padmapada name came then.
Unless he's done it in a different order. Okay. Viti, next the author presents and refutes the Pratibimbavad. Pratibimbavad is based on the Panchapadika Vivarna of Prakashat Ma Muni.
Yes, Padmapada is this school.
This school, yeah. Unlike Avachavedavad and Abhasavad, in Pratibimbavad, the apparent difference between the Jiva and Ishwar is attributed to one single Avidya Upadi. There's no separate Ishwara Upadi. So Ishwara doesn't have an Upadi, but the Jiva does. So when he gives up that, he becomes Ishwara. That's the idea. Okay.
Right. But we know that the Upadis, they created on an experience. So where is this experience that Upadi is based on coming from? Where's the... Because Upadi, like in Brahma Samhita, in the Bhagavatam, it says that the Brahma, based on the previous Upadi, or Purva Samskaras, he wanted to create.
Right.
So means in previous life, he was engaged in that thing, and he had an Upadi. So Upadi doesn't appear on its own. It's an effect. It's not the cause. So where is this coming from?
So this thing of Jiva not accepting unknown impressions means then there has to be a cause.
Yeah. Unknown.
Where does the cause come from?
It doesn't make any sense. Unknown impression. What does it mean?
Unknown impression. Yes. So it has to come from somewhere. And if you just say it came from the previous life, but then how does that go? Then that means they've always been conditioned.
Everybody finally attribute this to what is the causeless avidya.
Causeless avidya.
Okay.
So ultimately, like Shankaracharya used that word adhyasa, that is the illusion. Now, for Vaishnava, the illusion we know that as soon as the jiva turns away from Krishna, then he's looking towards illusion. Then the whole material existence starts.
Mm.
But their understanding starts from there, the illusion.
No, they haven't gone that first.
Yeah.
That turning away, the Bahir Mukh. They just start with it.
Start from after turning.
Okay.
So that's why then don't ask about where avidya comes from. Because it's there, it's causeless.
It's already there, causeless.
It's already there.
Causeless avidya.
So they say that Ishvara, Jiva, and illusion, they're all eternal?
Yes.
Means the third school or all the schools?
All the second school, they say Ishvara and Jiva doesn't exist. Brahman and Avidya are eternal. Now, whether the Jiva is directly Brahman or not, that their opinion varies. And the third school, this school, says both are real entities. Ishvara and Jiva are Brahman. But the second school is Ishvara and Jiva actually doesn't exist, are illusions.
So they're closer to Buddhism, actually,
yes,
the second school.
I think they might have come from Buddhism.
Okay.
And the first school, they came from Karma Mimamsa, so it's like...
Okay, so one based on karma, one based on Buddhism, and the other based on...
Maybe from Vaishnava.
Okay. Yeah, so you just take what part they like. So that's what I'm saying, it sounds closer to... That this one sounds closer to Shankara, that he's giving them ideas, but only presenting, and he doesn't explain it, and so then they just speculate. You know, it's like anybody; they have part of something, then they'll speculate how to apply this, that. That's why then you use the religious process, because then there's, you know, you don't have that speculation, right? It means you're analyzing how to use it, but you don't have to speculate. It's interesting. See where the basis goes back to. Okay. Jiva is defined as the reflection of Chaitanya in avidya. And Ishwara is defined as the original Chaitanya. So Chaitanya meaning consciousness. Jiva can be compared to the reflection of a face in a mirror, and Ishwara can be compared to the original face itself. Just as the reflection of a face in a mirror seems different from the face itself, e.g. they have different sizes and locations, Jiva seems different from Ishwara. So that's the idea, is you give up the Rupadi, then you become Ishwara. So if the reflection in the mirror would give up its idea that it's separate, there'd be no reflection in the mirror. No? Yeah. However, just as reflection of the face is not really different from the original face, Jiva is not really different from Ishwara. Unlike an Abhasavad, in Pratibimbavad, there is no Mitya reflection of Chaitanya and Avidya. It means that it's real. Mitya meaning false. What is mistaken as a... Yeah, so maybe put false then. What is mistaken as a reflection of Chaitanya and Avidya is actually original Chaitanya alone. So then they're saying the Lord is what is... So everything is the Lord. So that he's all-pervading and all that. So that aspect is right. But then they don't understand themselves as existing. So okay. So all of them, they don't know what the soul is. And basically, except for this one, they don't have any real understanding of Ishwara. This one has some, there's consciousness. The other one thinks illusion. But then they'll all say is Brahman is the basis, is the ultimate reality.
From this step, then Ramanujacharya could take, like, no, you're equal, but only qualitatively, but quantitatively not.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he could...
Okay, so
this step,
so he close. Dealt with this school.
Yeah, and then he could take step further, because this one explains it's not Brahma Parinama. The first school is Brahma Parinama Vat, when you say bifurcation of Brahman.
Okay, so Brahman.
So this school try to explain how the Brahman is the material and efficient cause. I mean, how Brahman is not affected by the matter.
Okay.
And that this is, seems a very convincing argument.
Mm.
So, but then they have a main problem is then why at all then the jiva becomes covered if he's originally.
Yeah, and what's the point?
What's the point?
And then why do you need Ishwara if
yes.
ultimately that's not realist? It's just Brahman. So why would Brahman take up the position of Ishwara?
Because if there is no intermediate, then you cannot jump from. If there is no bridge, then you cannot cross from this side of the river to that side. So Ishwara is that connecting point for them.
That's their...
That's why they use the term Ishwara.
Oh, Ishwara is there. So on all these, they use Ishwara as the bridge.
Yes.
Okay, so they become God, and then they become Brahman. Or they become Ishwara, then Brahman.
Yeah. Ishwara is representing that Brahman. It's covered... But still not covered. That.
Okay, so it's accessible Brahman.
Accessible Brahman.
Okay.
That's why Ishwara takes a lot of prominence to them.
Okay. Okay, so even though they're impersonalist, Ishwara is important to them.
I didn't understand the point. So, they say that Jiva becomes covered by what?
Ignorance. Avidya.
How?
That if you have... ignorance, and then you reflect Ishwara onto means this school, Ishwara onto ignorance, then you're going to get the reflection will be the jiva.
Okay. So the mirror is avidya.
So the mirror is avidya. But then why there's Ishwara instead of Brahman, because as Prabhu pointed out, is if there's only Brahman, how does Brahman, what's all-pervading and unlimited, can't be reflected, can't have a shadow? Because if it's everywhere, you can't get a reflection. You can only, if there's something here, then you can get a reflection. Oh, okay, so they're basically using the sun as, you have the person and then you have the sun, but then they take it that the sun is the Brahman, but then the person. So that would mean that Brahman is the sun that's causing the shadow. But why would, but then, as Prabhu pointed out, but if it's unlimited, there can't be a shadow, there can't be a reflection.
And even if it is, mm-hmm. just like say, like some formless.
Right.
Because the only, that which has form can reflect.
Yes.
The formless can reflect, but even if we take... then it does reflect like the sun in the pots.
Right.
Then all the jivas have to be exactly the same. They have to act exactly the same. Because it's a one reflection.
It's one reflection.
But then how we explain all the...
variety.
Yeah.
Why every jiva is different. Yes?
They're acting different.
There they bring the concept of Maya. Because Maya has that variety, so that's why we are acting differently.
Oh, so variegatedness is in Maya.
Maya.
It's not in Brahma.
Not in Brahma.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is they don't have the Shakti Parinama body. As soon as you introduce Shakti, that Brahman has Shakti, then all these problems that they have go away.
So, Mark,
mm-hmm.
then they have four entities?
Yes.
Brahman,
Ishwara, Jiva, and Maya.
Yeah, four. But and also the Maya also, then they differentiate between Avidya and Maya. Because Maya in mode of goodness should control Ishvara. Otherwise, then he becomes Brahman. Then they cannot access Brahman.
But then that means your access to Brahman is going to be through Maya. Because if she's controlling Ishvara, so ultimately then she's the main one.
That's why they're Maya bodies.
So that's why they're Shaktas.
That's why they're Maya bodies. But then they try to say, no, but that Maya is part of Avidya, which we are just reflected to and we are not controlled by it. So they put here, this is controlling that. That is just like the modern bureaucracy.
It just goes around in circles.
Just like modern bureaucracy. Nobody is controlling everyone. It's like, if this fellow is controlled by this fellow is controlled by this fellow. But keep it balanced, the whole thing.
Okay, yeah, so the bureaucrats control each other with the main principle that all of them together control everybody else.
The main problem is how Brahman...
Oh, so that's why they don't like leadership, because that's someone they can't control. And leadership can control the people without them.
And people have faith in leadership.
And leaderships and not in bureaucracy.
So bureaucrats are my buddies?
Yes. It appears so, at least the principle.
Impersonal.
Yeah.
Bureaucracy
it's impersonal, because that's the whole thing, is that everyone can hide behind the impersonal as the group, and so you can't deal with... And that's why people don't have faith. And so the interesting thing is that trying to follow a aspect and create a bureaucracy, because this is what the modern world does and all that, and that way they will be able to access the people. But the people, in general, don't really have faith in that bureaucracy. You know, they have more faith in leadership. And so then the ones that would be more the bureaucratic, you know, it means that you know, into that, they would have to be much more of a conservative kind of element. You know, like that, is because they're creating the things, or conservative in the way they create their own religious process, and then everybody has to follow that.
That's why smartas make best bureaucrats.
Smartas make best bureaucrats. Yeah, that's true.
Why? Because they can.
Because they just—it's the rules or everything. Mm. They just—you have the rules. They follow the rules, and they're smart enough to follow the rules that work. You know. And so then if they start, as they become too liberal, then they start to lose the potency. Falls apart. So you always have to get... it's about balance, about everybody controlling each other in this way, but the common point is to control the people.
So probably they get first, when they become a little bit more liberal, they born somewhere in the West.
Yes. Yeah.
Material poverty?
Yeah, the end of it.
This is also a serious difficulty, which we notice discussing, you know, philosophy or even personal behavior, is that there's the rule and there is an exception.
Right.
So, let's say, for example, it's like classic. You know, a spiritual master, he gives a class, like a general class.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives a set of rules. He mentions them directly. Mm-hmm. You hear it from him. And then when the spiritual master is dealing with people, with mm-hmm. his disciples, like concrete people, specific cases. Then, apparently, he breaks the same rule he announced in the general class. So, how can... And then he does it, like, regularly. He deals with this, and then it's like, okay, and he deals with that. It's also fine. And Srila Prabhupada did it. Shudakirti Prabhu, he mentions that. That the, in general class, Prabhupada said there's no divorce. And it's like, boom. And then some devotee comes and says, okay, Srila Prabhupada, please bless me. He's still married to the previous lady. He says, please bless me with the relationship to the second lady. And Prabhupada says, okay, just go for it. And Shudakirti is like frozen for days. And then he humbly comes to Prabhupada and says, you know, how can we reconcile this? And then Prabhupada explains that if I wouldn't give him a blessing, still he would do it because his mind is already set on this. But then he would create Guru Aparat. So then in the, in this case, I helped him. So so we understand that the rules are an external border. But what about the exceptions? And there are many.
Well, exceptions come up as... Exception is application. But the point is you're always looking at what is the ultimate point? What's the, you know, ultimate point that's there? Then what are the practical recommendations? And then where's our position? Right? So we're trying to take our position through the recommendations and get to the ultimate point.
Right.
Right? And so the thing, the difference is Prabhupada's looking at that, looking at it from there. What's the ultimate point? Back to the recommendation, back to what this person can do.
Yes.
And so, therefore, it's going to be individual, you know. It means if you have a bunch of cases, each case will be slightly different because of the individual conditioning. But you still are comparing it to the original rule. Right? So, but we don't do that. We just look at, oh, there's a rule and it's broken. Therefore, you know, if it's ruled, then everybody can do whatever they want. No, but whatever they want has to be brought back to the original point. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say... you're trying to do something, let's say, in art, okay? And let's say you have a standard of what you're trying to achieve in the class. And so then, you know, each student and all that, then according to their ability, according to their, you know, how you say, their impressions and everything, they're going to be able to approach that art form slightly differently. But it's still based off of what you're trying to get to. You know? And so, therefore, the main thing is, like we said, is that proper expression and all that. And then you're going to get back, there's techniques for that. And then, you know, in those techniques, you're going to have, you know, how it means the brush strokes, you're going to have the colors, you're going to have the medium, you're going to have the canvas, you're going to have all these different things. And so then... someone is trying their best and they end up with, you know, something like, you know, what a three-year-old does. But it's a start. And so, yes, from there, then you try to develop. But it's not that, oh, yeah, that's all right, and that replaces the original thing. So that's the thing, is we take it that the exception replaces the rule. No, the exception actually establishes the rule. That's the difference in the Vedas. It's an the word exception is because it's not like that. It's like another thing. This is the exception. You know? Does that make sense? Because the whole point is you're trying to create a cooperation between the husband and wife to go back to Godhead. And so there's going to be the masculine nature, the feminine nature. They have to cooperate because the point is it's about Krishna. So Nanda Baba and Jashoda, they cooperate about Krishna. So putting Krishna as the center, then you're looking at that cooperation. Now, you're putting masculine and feminine together. They're basically opposite natures. Compatible, but opposite. Right? So there's things that are common, but they're coming from opposite positions. One's coming from the position of Sambandha, one's coming from the position of Prayojana.
Yeah.
Right? So the point is what the one is Sambandha, you know, wants Prayojana. The one in Prayojana wants the Sambandha, so they can cooperate. You know, and what's that done? That's done through Abhideya. That's the medium, right? So there's always a medium, like before. You know, Ishwar is the medium for them. It has to be a medium. And so then that aspect is there, and then you have to keep it on Krishna. So if you say no divorce, which is the standard, because you see in the past they didn't have that problem. Why? Because they knew who they were, what their duties were, what the other person was, what their duties were, what was the natural cooperation like that, you know, the religious process there, and what their ultimate goal is. So keeping their eye on the goal, they doing their duty, cooperate with the other for that goal. And so if you make that position, it can work. So that's why if you're also saying no divorce, then that means you have to marry the right person. And marrying the right person means it's not a matter of sentiment. Right? It has to be, that's why you have in the Vedas, you have the astrological, you have your, you know, friends, family, senior persons that are helping you with this. Because up to us, it's just they look nice, then that's good enough. You know, we smiled, they smiled, hey, Haribo. Then, you know, get out the wedding dress, you know, stuff like that. But it's not enough. Because, you know, anybody can smile. You know? And smiles are attractive. Like, I think it was previously, they had, there's a rule now for the, I don't know about it, but for American passports, for the photograph, you can't smile.
Yeah.
Well, previously, you could smile. Because it's known psychologically, if you smile, people automatically trust. So they want to have a plain face, and so like that, so they're going to make look at it more analytically rather than you smiled, oh, he's a nice guy, you know, you know, like that. So that's the point. Anybody can smile. And so that's the difficulty, is that we base on that, and, you know, it doesn't work. So that's why you have to have it. So when you say no divorce, it brings in what's happening in the family, how you're arranging the marriage, how you run the marriage, how it ultimately unfolds, because it's about Krishna, therefore then vanaprastha, all these things go with that one word, that one, you know, rule, no divorce. But we just look at it as just the divorce part. We don't look at anything else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so therefore then there's so much trouble. Is that we're not looking at that bigger picture. And if it is, then how is he going to progress forward? Yes, it's not right, it's not good. But then everybody will go, oh, I want to get divorced like that. But no one's looking at how to stay married. So that's why you have to push that point. And then you do the best you can. But you have to have people sincerely trying to do their best. But because it's you know, the most intense of all rasas, then that intensity, people only want it in the areas where they want the intensity. I like the intensity here, but I don't like it here. But they go together, it's balanced. So therefore, they'll always be divorced because there's the illusion of, no, I'll find that, you know, it's like you hear the thing is, oh, you know, at home, then, you know, your wife is always grumpy and this and that, but all of the ladies I deal with, they're all so pleasant and nice. That's just an illusion because there's no possession. But as soon as there's possession, they'll be the same as the wife. And why is the wife grumpy all the time? Because you're behaving badly, that's why. You know, so that's just the way it works. You know? So, but no one wants to see that. No, I'm fabulous. You know, whenever you say, okay, the men should do this, 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 hand goes up. What is that? So what, okay, that's the way you nicely delineate what the men are supposed to do. But what are the women supposed to do? It's kind of like, no, you do yours, they'll do theirs. You know, so it's like a...
Also, Sanskrit is such a perfect language that the husband is pati.
Yes.
And then in the Western mind, we think if I'm the master, she is a slave.
Right.
But then, okay, I'm the pati, but she's patni.
Yes. It
means she is also... same position,
just
in a different role. So it actually matches, but we want to take this here and...
Yeah, and then at the same time as we talk equality. We say that everything's got to be equal, then it's equal like this. You know? You know, and it'll never be. You can't say, there's no such thing as everything's equal. You know, it means your breakfast tiffin and that column over there, are they equal? You know? No. There's always difference. That's variety. So saying everything's equal and you expect that, that's impersonalism. And that gives rise, we saw before, to the bureaucracy and all these different things. So the seeming liberal actually comes, it takes you into impersonalism. Right? And the so-called conservatives, you see, they're all quite personal and all that. But, you know, they may be more or less cultured, depending upon their position, just like the liberals may be more or less cultured. So it's always a problem. Is that that's why the Vedic, it all goes together. It has to be all together and balanced. You know, because that's the thing is, he controls in certain areas, she controls in other areas. It means he controls the field, means he controls what is the field, she controls the field. But he thinks, no, I create the field, I control the field. But then where's the relationship? So that's the whole thing, is that people are dysfunctional in relationships. They don't understand the relationship. Because their point is how much you support me, then it's a relationship. When you don't support me, it's not a relationship. Rather than, you know, it's actually a personal thing and like that. So that's the point, is Srila Prabhupada will see all these things. We don't see all these things, so we stick to what he's given. And you do your best. It's not that, oh, Prabhupada said it could be, and so therefore it's okay. No, but what is he deciding on? Here's something that it could work. He's not understanding what to do. Here's something that, you know, it's no question. He's just doing whatever he wants to do. You know, but then we're looking at it, but how come he can and we can't? Why, that's a superior position? That's a more desirable position, divorce? No, because then the whole thing is, you can say is, oh no, but it's a fresh beginning and all that. Yeah, and then how many years will it take for you to get to know the person and work things out? You know? And so then, how old are you now? So then you finally get things worked out by the time you're 50, and then? So what to do? So it's not ideal. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.